we continue our study of the Feast of the Lord, part 4. Today we are speaking about the feast or the Day of Atonement, taken from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 to 32. We saw in our last Bible study the institution of the Feast of Trumpets. It was on the first day of the seventh month. Verse 23, you recall. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering meat by fire unto the Lord. That which was now the seventh month had been reckoned the first month, and the year of Jubilee was still to begin with this month. So that this was their New Year's Day. It was to be, as their other yearly Sabbath, a day of holy rest. Ye shall do no servile work therein, and a day of holy work. Ye shall offer an offering to the Lord. Concerning how it is to be done, Numbers 29 described for us. That which is here made is discussed. It is a memorial of blowing of trumpets. The trumpets were blown every new moon, but in the new moon of the seventh month, it was to be done with more solemnity. For here they will begin to blow from sunrise until sunset. It is to be a memorial. Therefore, the sound of the trumpet was given. You remember when the law was given at Mount Sinai, the trumpet was sound, which must not be forgotten. And others think that this memorial is concerning, well, the creation of the world, the various seasons in autumn, for which here it is described as the first month. And then the mighty word of God was also given. The word of God was given as a voice of thunder, Psalm 104, verse 7, described. And the Jewish writers pay special spiritual attention to this Feast of the Trumpets. And it was at this time that they would, by the blowing of the trumpet, as it were, to shake them from their spiritual lethargy, drowsiness, and to search and try their ways. And on the ninth day would begin the Day of Atonement in the even, and they were awakened to prepare for that day. So the Feast of Trumpets, beginning on the first day of the seventh month, and the Day of Atonement beginning on the tenth day, well, beginning on the ninth day at even, the Lord wants us to consider and think why this day was set aside. Well, we saw when we were studying Leviticus chapter 16, we have at length studied this Day of Atonement, but there are certain emphases that are made here that we would like us to consider, that this is a day that was set aside for the people, a day of rest from all manner of work, and it was a day of reflection and a day of affliction. There are three thoughts that we want to think about as we consider this text. Firstly, the humbling of our souls for sin, verses 27 to 29. It was a time, a solemn feast, a solemn time, where the people of God would come together, or they would take time to examine themselves. Also, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, verse 27 says, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that day, he shall be cut off from among the people. And so Matthew Henry said well, for it is a day of atonement, the humbling of our souls for sin, and the making of our peace with God is work that requires the whole man and the closest application of mind imaginable, and all little enough. In other words, they are to give their heart and soul and mind to self-examination as they sought to draw near to God. He that would do the work of a day of atonement in its day, as it should be done, need to lay aside the thought of everything else. In other words, they are to take time to ponder concerning the works of their soul, a spiritual stocktake that the Lord sought that his people would do. And how can they do so? Well, the Lord be gracious to give to them a heart of submission. Our Lord Jesus gave the submission of God's people in self-examination as an utmost priority of the Christian demeanor when he said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It was prepared by the people in command to afflict your souls. And so it was a time of fasting from the even of the 9th day until the evening of the 10th day, by resting from all work. The word atonement comes from the Hebrew word kafar, that means to cover. And the psalmist in Psalm 32 verse 1 says well, in the second part, 1b, blessed is he whose sin is covered. The word sin means missing the mark against the standard of God's word, as delineated most emphatically in the Ten Commandments. It also describes to miss the step or footing, or to stumble, hence to go astray. Every departure from God's law is therefore a missing of the mark and a trespass against God. So we saw in that verse, in Psalm 32, verse 1a, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. We see how to identify sin. Again, it is against God's law, measured against God's law, and the transgression, it's a rebellion against God, man choosing to stray from God. And so the Day of Atonement was a day when the people of God would be brought back from their wandering to God. And in order to that, they, as they examine themselves, their sins be confessed, and that by the mercy of God they be cleansed, they be forgiven. The word cover is the passive, is in the passive meaning, being covered. And the action of covering is done on the subject, the sinner. So the word here means this in the passive, that we cannot cover our own sins. The Bible tells us that our sins are covered by the righteousness earned on our behalf by the shed blood of Christ. Hence, God no longer holds his wrath against the sinner. You remember after the fall in Genesis 3 verse 7, the eyes of both Adam and Eve were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The leaves they made for themselves could not cover the guilt of their sins. Can we cover up our sins and then they are gone? Just sweep it under the carpet as long as no one knows, therefore we would be safe. Dear brethren, God knows. The Bible says, be sure our sins will find us out. Our friends, our spouses, our teacher, our colleagues, our bosses, supervisors may not know, but God knows, and he will deal with us after our sins. And so God was gracious to Adam and Eve to save them by the coats of skin which he made and brought it before them, a prefigure of Christ, the sinless Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And after which Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Cleansed by blood of Christ, man makes man positionally righteous before God. But the sin nature, well, in the sense that man inside him, there is still a contending force that resides in him. And so as he takes time to draw close to God, the Spirit of God will cause him to put away sin, to overcome, to choose not to sin. And here Israel is commanded to take time off on this Day of Atonement to examine themselves and to confess their sins before God and to make peace with God. And God would on that day speak peace unto his people, God's people, unto his saints. And during this time they must lay aside their business, their worldly business, that they might be more clearly and more reverently hear the voice of God, that voice of joy and gladness. You know, sin and the rushing about in the cares of this world robs the saint of his joy. And here is a time of renewal. It is a time of soul searching. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so the day, in the Day of Atonement, the people of God are commanded to humble their souls before God for sin. And it was a day, our second thought, of fasting and prayer. Verse 27, 29, and 32. A day of fasting and prayer. It shall be unto you, verse 32 says, a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. Afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Fasting should be days of rest. Fasting days should be days of rest. They must afflict their souls, and upon this they may seek restoration of the blessing of God if they have sinned against God. And at this time, they mortify the body, denying the appetites of the body, and with sorrow for sins that they had committed, they seek to mortify their, what Matthew Henry said, their indwelling corruptions. And so every soul must be afflicted. And every soul that was polluted and guilty before God must seek repentance before God. And so the entire day is to be observed. From even to even, ye shall afflict your soul. Ye shall begin your fast, and in humility, you come before God. Henry Scruder, he said well, a fast, the sanctifying a day to the Lord by a willing abstinence from meat and drink, from delights and worldly labors, that the whole man may be more thoroughly humbled before God and more fervent in prayer. This fast has two parts. The one outward, the chastening of the body, and the other inward, the afflicting of the soul, under which are contained all those religious acts which concern the setting of the heart right towards God and the seeking help of God for those things for which the fast is intended. Taking fasting strictly for bodily abstinence. So it is an indifferent thing and in no part of God's worship. But take it as it is joined with the inward part, a profession of an extraordinary humiliation, Henry Scruder said. And it is a great assistance, giving a stronger and speedier wink to prayer, which must always go with it. So when we afflict ourselves in fasting, you would find as we, with a motive of self-examination, as we humble ourselves before God, in the inward man we seek God, the Lord is going to bless such a soul. Ezra 8 verse 23 says, and so they so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Psalm 35 verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. Fasting is contrary to that fullness of breath which makes both body and soul disposed to vice and indisposed to religious duties. Here, as we take time to afflict our souls, in a sense, to mortify and to examine the movements of our hearts, well, it is a time of where the Lord would do His good work for our heart. The heaviness of the heart, the dullness and deadness of spirit, the drowsiness of the head is taken away as we come before God in fasting and prayer. Now, this being removed, the dominion of the flesh subdued through fasting, the body will be brought into subjection to the soul, both body and soul to the will of God, more readily than otherwise they would be. So you see, in the days when eat, drink, and be merry, it is not so good for the soul. But the Lord appointed that Israel would come together so that they may take time to not to be encumbered with food and to take time to examine how they are living their lives. So Henry Scruder said, a day of fasting is a great assistance to the soul for the better performing of holy duties such as meditation, reading and hearing, the word, prayer, examining, judging and reforming a person's self, both because his spirits are better disposed when he's fasting to serious devotion, and the mind being so long taken wholly off the thoughts and cares and pleasures of this life, he may be more intent and earnest in the seeking of God. Well, we take time to come before God, and here Israel is commanded by God. If they do not do so, they will be cut off. Here the law is so strict during those times of the Old Testament ordinance. If they do not adhere to the Sabbath day, they will be stoned to death. Wow, how strict. Now here in the economy of the New Testament, we do not have that kind of a imposition of the law like that against us. But here the Lord nonetheless provide us the principle that the people of God, sinners saved by grace, there is still that tendency to yield to the flesh. And therefore, how to mortify, how to have victory over the flesh? Well, take time off to examine ourselves. Fasting is an open profession of guiltiness before God and an expression of sorrow and humiliation, being a real acknowledgement of man's unworthiness, even of the common necessaries of this present life. But it is not enough that the body is chastened if the soul be not also afflicted, because it is not merely bodily exercise which will profit very little. In fact, fasting must not become a show, a hypocritical fast. But the soul must be afflicted. The soul that is afflicted works repentance, and godly sorrow causes repentance, never to be repented of. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. When the soul is afflicted and heavy laden with sin, then a man will readily and earnestly seek after God and seek after God's pardon. Even as the sick do to the physician for health, so the condemned men to the Lord, to the King, for pardon. In their affliction, saith God, they will seek to be to be diligent. If this be true of the outward, then it's much more true of the inward affliction. The afflicted soul is a fit object of God's mercy. When we afflict ourselves and seek to draw close to God through the searching of our hearts, well, it enables us to draw close to God as we confess our sins. Our afflicted soul, well, is a fit object of God's mercy, that God's mercy may come upon us as we confess our sins and seek to make right with God. To him that doth look, that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at the word of God, that we fear. You see, as you take time to fast and come before God, you take time to meditate upon the word of God. And the Spirit of God will use the word of God to cause you to know where you have gone wrong in your life. And the Spirit of God gives no rest. And the man may take time to examine and to come to terms with his own filthiness and his own corruptions and seek to be purified, sanctified. And so this is what the Lord seeks for the men of God, that a day of humiliation. And so if a man would be sincere and would afflict his soul, then he would find help from God. God's mercy would come and renew that soul. The third thought, the first thought, the humbling of our souls for sin, verse 27 to 29. And second thought, day of fasting and prayer, 27, 29, and 32. And thirdly, leave off all worldly labor, verse 30 to 32. Leave off all worldly labor. And whatsoever, verse 30 says, so it be that doeth any work in that same day, that the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And so what the Lord is saying here for his people is that it is to be a Sabbath of rest, and they will leave off all worldly labor. Now, as you would know, when you are busy in your labor, in the things, the cares of this world, you find yourself having no time to think and examine your ways. And therefore, it is good that the Lord would institute a stop check, that we would take time off, take time to draw close to God. It was a Sabbath of rest, and they were to leave off all their worldly labor and to compose themselves to the work of the day approaching, sometime before sunset on the ninth day, and not to take any food except children and sick people till after the sunset on the tenth day. So the whole day would be a day set aside whereby they would fast and they would pray and they would take time in the word of meditation upon the word of God. Henry Scruder, he observed well, he says, private, as often as a man shall have more than ordinary causes of seeking unto God, either for others or himself, for removing or preventing imminent judgments, well, when we would, the Lord would afflict us. Judgments from the church, for procuring their necessary food, for subduing headstrong lust, for obtaining some necessary grace, for special blessing, for preparing himself for some special service of God. These are some of the things that we would do in the day of fasting. You may have something that has troubled you, and as you take time to fast and pray before God, the Lord would show you His will, His way clearly, so that you may walk therein according to the will of God. Or is there certain lust that is so strong in you that is overcoming you? To take time to examine, to ask God for forgiveness, for strength to overcome. For special blessings, extend verse 30. These are the things that the people of God will do when they leave off all worldly labor, so that they take their mind off all the cares and allow them to have a spiritual reorientation and to be clear that they are back on track, walking with God. Luke chapter 9, verse 22 to 27. Luke chapter 9, verse 22 to 27, as we would conclude. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you our truth, that there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Well, here is described for us discipleship. That it means to deny the satisfaction of the self and to take up his cross. We are to follow the Lord, not our own ways. And here it says, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." Well, we think in our cleverness we can make gain on our own. Well, here the Lord says that there is no other way. There is a sacrifice, a worthy sacrifice in the following of God that the Lord seeks. You see, if we will not, then we still hold on to our idols, you see. But if we were to let go, only when we are willing to let go. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." So it's a paradox, a spiritual paradox that the Lord would seek that his people may understand, so that they may not go after the things of this world, not go after the things of this flesh, the pleasures of this life, humbling of our souls for sin, day of fasting and prayer, leaving off all worldly labor. You will see here that it is the beginning of the year for the Jewish people. And on the 10th day, from the sounding of the trumpet, the people would take that day off to begin the year. How important it is that we would take stock periodically to examine our hearts, that if we are still, our spiritual bearing is still on course. Is your spiritual bearing on course? Well, we don't know, but the Lord knows, and it behooves us to seek Him so that He may reveal it to us. How do we seek Him? Well, in the prayerful meditation of God's Word, in our devotions, and that's where the Lord will reveal it to us. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee for granting to us to learn this Feast of the Atonement that was instituted for ancient Israel. How appropriate it is for us that the people of God too would take a day off for self-examination in fasting and prayer. Lord, may Thou strengthen Thy people and help us that we may seek Thee and do Thy will for Thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.